So we're going to be in the book of Acts in chapter 4 in verse 11 this afternoon. Again, appreciate you joining us. We're going to be in the book of Acts in chapter 4, verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here tonight, even online. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have that we can still meet. God, thank you for all the blessings of life that you've given us, everything you've bestowed upon us. God, help us so we could be ever thankful and we could be grateful where our blessings come from. God, I pray that you be with those in the church that's less fortunate, those sick and down. God, those recovering, you know the needs of each and every one. God, help us so we could be back in your house worshiping together again. And God, help us as a country that we could turn back to you. God, that we could look to you for guidance in our everyday life. God, help us so we could remember the reason for the season. God, that we wouldn't take Christ out of Christmas. God, but we could exemplify him every day in our life. Forgive us when we fail you. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So like I said, this afternoon we're going to talk about the story of a candy cane. If you hadn't noticed yet, I tried to get festive to the best of my ability. I was going to try real hard to surprise everybody in church, but I figured that a candy cane turquoise suit was not a Sunday morning attire. So I strayed away from it this morning, but I hope everybody can appreciate the story of the candy cane. It's the candy cane. And so it begins and ends right here with Acts in chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. In that, the most important thing is Jesus, the stone which was set at naught of the builders. The stone which the builders cast aside has become the head cornerstone. The most important thing, the thing that that everybody said, well, whoop-de-doo, and even the men in power said, well, if it's real, then great and wonderful, it'll come to pass. If not, then it'll just go away. They had kind of a lackadaisical point of view of Jesus. And whenever we talk about Jesus here, we have to understand that our view of him should be anything but lackadaisical. It should be anything than something that's a fly-by-night coming and going. The name of Jesus is the most recognized name on the planet ever. And so whenever we see this in verse 12, it says, neither is there a salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among we men whereby we must be saved. Not only is it the name, it is the only name. It is the one name that is important. And whenever we talk about the candy cane, and according to the story that we've all heard, the candy cane points toward Jesus. And we're going to go step by step to that tonight, pointing out scriptures that goes right along with the story. In that, we're going to begin with the white of the candy cane. The candy cane is white with red stripes, and please don't argue with me that it's red with white stripes, because that don't really go along with what we're talking about. But if you suck on a candy cane for a little while, eventually all the red goes away and it turns white. So I'm using that as my justification, in that the candy cane is white with red stripes. And so we're going to begin with the absolute white of the candy cane, and we're going to turn to Hebrews in chapter 4. The book of Hebrews in chapter 4, to talk about the white of the candy cane. The white of the candy cane represents two things. It represents Jesus being pure and holy. Jesus lived here on this life, and he was tempted as all. Well, let's just get to the scripture. Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was just as much a man as you and I are. Jesus was just as much flesh and blood as you and I are. But the thing is, he looked to his heavenly Father to guide him. He looked to his heavenly Father to lead him and for help. And so whenever it says here, it says that he was tempted in all points, tempted like as we are. And here we go. That next phrase is the kicker, yet without sin. The white of the candy cane represents the pureness of Christ. Without the absolute sinless blood of Christ, and there is no remission of sin. Without Jesus coming and living that perfect life, without him being, there's no other word, without him being perfect and sinless in each and every way, there is no remission of sin. And so whenever we talk about the white of the candy cane, we understand that it represents the holiness of Christ, the unsurpassed purity. In the Old Testament, they were told to find sacrifices without spot and without blemish, and God provided the ultimate. God provided the only sacrifice that was 100% sinless. And whenever we talk about Christ, especially around Christmas and Easter time, we refer to him as as being all man and all God, and he is, and people call him the God man, but he's not half man and half God. He's 100% God. 100% he was in heaven with God even before this world began. And we talked about that last Wednesday night. But in the same way, Jesus was 100% man. Jesus had the same feelings that we do. Jesus had the same rationalities that we do. Jesus battled the same, the same flesh and blood that we do. He was tempted by Satan the way we do. He was angered. He wept whenever he heard that Lazarus had died, even though he had the power to raise him up, even though he knew that he was going to overcome, even though he had the foresight of God the Father about what was going on. Jesus still battled the same things we did. And here that kicker comes again, yet without sin. And through this sinless body of Christ, we have remission of sin because he was the ultimate sacrifice. And so the white of the candy cane, like I said, represents two things. The first is the pure and holiness body of Christ. And the second is in Isaiah in chapter 1, if you'll turn that direction for me. The book of Isaiah in chapter 1. The second represents what God does to our sins. The second aspect of the white part of the candy cane is what God does with our sins. He washes them away. He cleanses us white as snow. And so whenever we look at Isaiah in chapter 1, in verse 18, Isaiah chapter 1, for some reason I'm in Song of Solomon. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Whenever we're saved, whenever we give our life to Christ, whenever Jesus comes into our heart, our sins are washed away. Our soul is washed white, and my wife understands, and I know for a fact my mother does as well. If you've ever tried to get blood out of a white t-shirt or any kind of fabric for that matter, it is extremely difficult to get something that's red out of something, especially that is white. It just stains and it runs and it usually hangs around for a pretty good while. But whenever we talk here about what God does to our soul, it's not that he temporarily gets rid of the stain. It's not that he goes and buys us a new one. It's that he completely and totally washes it, cleanses it, and we become white as snow. Though our sins be as scarlet, be as crimson, they shall be as wool. And so the second part of the whiteness of the candy cane represents the fact that whenever we're saved, that God washes our soul, he cleanses, he washes all of our sins away. And so our souls at that point in time become perfect. Our souls become absolute perfection, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that leads us on to the red. If you'll turn over to Isaiah in chapter 53, the book of Isaiah in chapter 53, the red represents the blood of Jesus and the stripes that he took on the account of me and you, hence the white with red stripes. And so the stripes that Jesus took and the blood that Jesus shed takes us to the redness of our candy cane. In Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 5, Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed." The pureness and the holiness of God would not be possible without the red stripes that Jesus took. Without the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, he was wounded, here we go, for me and for you. He was mistreated for what I had done. The nails held him there, but love made him stay, is the way the song goes. And whenever we talk about love holding Jesus to that cross, we understand that it wasn't the love for individual people that was living in that day. It wasn't for the people that he was looking at from the cross, but it was everybody. It was them, it was me, it was you, it was our kids, our grandkids, it was people that lived 100 years ago, and it's people that's going to live 100 years from now if Jesus tarries his coming. Now, Jesus was wounded for everyone's transgressions. He was bruised, here we go, for everyone's iniquities. Whenever that word says our there, it's anybody that reads it, it's anybody that hears it, it's anybody that's ever lived on this earth. And he was the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He did it for me. He did it for you. He did it all so that we could live, so that we could be saved, so that we could, a lot of people emphasize, well, I get to miss hell. Yes, absolutely. Wonderful. Great. But he did it for so many more reasons than that. He did it so that we could be children of God. We did it. He did it so that we could honor and glory him with our life here on this earth. He did it so that we can be witnesses for him, so that we can reach other people. Jesus laid down his life. God gave his only begotten son so that we could remember him, if even as by something simple as a red candy cane, that we can remember the stripes that Jesus took was for us, so that we can remember that the blood that Jesus shed was for us. And that brings us on. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. In chapter 2, the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, we understand that the candy cane, I'm going to use this one right here as an example, the candy cane has kind of a hook shape. And so whenever we look at the candy cane, a lot of times we compare it to a shepherd's staff. And that's kind of where we're going with it. And the shepherd usually was never without their staff in the field. And we see a lot of people in the Bible that was brought from being shepherds. And so whenever we look at Ephesians in chapter 2, we understand that God is our shepherd. That we're going to be in John in chapter 10. We'll get to Ephesians in a minute. That the roundness and the hook in the candy cane represented the shepherd, and God is our shepherd. Psalms chapter 100 tells us that we are the sheep of his pasture, and that if we are the sheep of his pasture, that Jesus is going to take care of us, that God is going to take care of us. And so whenever we talk about being a shepherd, John chapter 10, verse 11. John in chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am, here we go, the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm going to read that to you one more time. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We read of stories throughout the Bible of shepherds that David stepped in and slew a lion and a bear. Whenever Moses was called, he was out tending the sheep. Jesus gave the story of the one sheep that went astray. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that we are that one sheep. We are that one sheep, that one person that Jesus gave his life for. The one person that he was thinking about on that cross was me, and it was you at the same time. And so whenever we talk about Jesus being a good shepherd, not only is he a shepherd that watches over us, that takes care of us, Jesus is that one shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. He gave his life so that we might live. And so whenever we read this verse, it's short, sweet, and to the point in John in chapter 10. But we take it for granted because Jesus gave everything, and yet we keep so much back. We won't give back to him. And this morning we talked about having room for Jesus. And the reality is Jesus had room for nothing else but love for each and every one of us. And still today we don't have time for him. We have time for so many other things in this world, and most of the time Jesus is not a priority. But we're gonna skip out on that. But the candy cane, the right side up where the hook is at the top, represents the God being a shepherd for us, God taking care of us. And so we're gonna flip over to Ephesians. Knew we'd get there in a minute. Ephesians, we're gonna look at the density of the candy cane, and I'm not gonna bring chemistry or biology or zoology or whatever it is into it. But the candy canes are extremely hard. Most of them are. I don't particularly care for chewy candy canes. I like the hard candy. I like the crunch on peppermint. And so whenever we think about the hardness of the candy cane, this is a representation of our rock. And if you don't know who the Rock of Ages is, then maybe we need to have a conversation. But our rock is Jesus Christ. And whenever we talk about it, well, let's go ahead and read in Ephesians in chapter 2, verse number 20. Ephesians in chapter 2, verse number 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the rock of our life. He is that person that once we're saved, we build that foundation on top of. Jesus Christ is that hardness, the one thing that is solid. A house built upon a rock shall not fall. And a house built upon a sand, well, when the rain comes, it's going to get washed away. And so if our faith is built on the sand, if our faith is wishy-washy, then it's not going to happen. But if our faith is rooted and grounded and founded in Jesus Christ, then it's going to be there forever. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, here we go, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We have a point for it. There is a point for growing. There is a point for living. There is a point for having faith and trust in Jesus Christ so that we could grow, so that we could be together in unity, a holy temple unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whenever we think about the hardness, the crunchiness, the fact that the candy cane is relatively dense and it is considered to be a hard candy, we understand that this represents the fact that Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, that he is the ultimate one that we have faith and trust in, that he is the rock on which our faith is founded, upon our future is founded, upon the rock that our hope lies in each and every day. And so we're going to be, turn back with me for the book of Acts in chapter 4. The book of Acts in chapter 4, where we started. If you take that candy cane and you flip it over upside down. Now, I think I got one right here. There we go. If you take this candy cane that's upside down, and if I wasn't mirrored in the phone, it would be the right side up. But a candy cane that's upside down represents a J. If yours don't say J, just flip it over backwards. It'll say J then. But the upside down candy cane is a J, and that represents Jesus. In Acts in chapter 4, in verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. And so the ultimate message of the candy cane is the message of Christ. It is the message of Jesus. And during Christmas time, during Easter time, even during July 4th, if you want to be a missionary, if you want to have an influence on somebody, take them a candy cane and tell them a story. You're presenting Jesus Christ to them. You're presenting them the purity of God. You're presenting them the blood of Jesus, the stripes that he took for me and you. You're telling them that God is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. You're telling them that he'll take care of it, that he gave his life for each and every one of us. And through faith and trust in him, we can live eternally. We can be called the children of God. And then ultimately, the candy cane flipped upside down represents Christ from top to bottom, from start to finish. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. There is none. There is no other name other than Jesus. And especially during the Christmas time, we focus more on Jesus than anything else. But the reality of it is we ought to be focused on Jesus all the time. We ought to be focusing on being a witness for him all the time. We ought to be giving out candy canes all the time rather than just during Christmas time or even just during Easter time or just during Thanksgiving. We should always be thankful for God. We should always be celebrating his birth. We should always be celebrating his resurrection. We should always be trying to be a witness to those in our community. We should always be telling people about the blood of Jesus Christ, about the purity of God, about the shepherd that we have, about the one who gives us peace, the one who takes care of us, the one who saved our soul. And I appreciate everybody joining us, tuning in tonight, and I hope and pray that the message could be a blessing to each and every one. And I hope that we can all draw closer to God, that we could be used of God in a greater way. And in some small way, we could lead some lost soul to Christ. That's what it's all about. And for those of you that are curious, the suit did come with pants. They match top to bottom. And so I'm just looking for an excuse to wear it again. You never know, I may find one around July the 4th. But keep in mind that we're going to have church in church candlelight service on Wednesday night. And if anything in the world I can do for you between now and then, feel free to reach out and be much in prayer for the church, the community. There are a lot of people in the community we heard about just throughout the day today that has tested positive for COVID. Several more are down with sinus infections and different illnesses and ailments. But be much in prayer for them as well as our country as Christmas and New Year's brings about a new administration in D.C. And so be in prayer for this, understanding and remembering that God is always in control and he's promised to take care of us through it all. Thank you. God bless you.